in the house of the Lord this morning. Man, it's good. Hold on. Now it's good to see you. Can I just say something real quick? Yeah. Brother Mark and Kim Emmons, amen. Welcome home. Been missing y'all. So good to see you. When Ashley and I first started coming to church here, Mark and his wife Kim were here with us, and my daughter Michaela just loved Brother Mark back there. So anyway, brother, just welcome home, both of you. We love you guys. So glad to see you this morning. Y'all really? Y'all want? Well, we'll get together later and talk about all the stories he doesn't want anybody to know, and we'll put them on the website. So glad to see you all this morning. I want to start off before we get started. Can y'all do me a favor? Everybody, close your eyes. Everybody, close your eyes, bow your head. I want you to think about something that's happened this week that was good or that you're grateful for. I want you to think about one thing. I want you to get a hold of it. And I want you to think about this one thing. Try to pick one thing. I pray to God you have so many that it's hard to choose, but pick one thing that you're grateful for or that went good this week. Now open up your eyes. I want you to understand, some of you in here got it right away. Some of you could think of something that went really well and got a hold of it. But how many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you struggled to find the one thing that went good? You know, the devil does that. That's what that was. That was the enemy trying to distract you from what God had done for you. When we come into the house of the Lord, listen, the world ain't right, the church ain't right, people ain't right. But you know what is right? Our Lord and Savior's right. When we come in here, the first thing that we need to do is we need to have on an attitude of gratefulness. We need to walk in here with a sense of thanksgiving. And when we have that in mind, what happens is we put a block at the door for the devil that cannot pass. But when we come in, it's the same thing into my home. I don't walk into my home with a bad mentality of I got to do this. I walk into my home grateful for the house that I have to live in. I walk into my home grateful for my children and my wife who I get to raise and be a part of and share my life with. When I walk into church on Sunday mornings, I walk in here thinking that God is going to move for somebody, that they're going to walk out of here differently than they walked in today. These are the things that I think on and I meditate on. Before we even start service, when I'm praying in here, I pray that God touch somebody in a way that only God can do. Because I can't preach you into anything. Can't preach you into heaven. I can't preach you into hell. I can't preach you into favor. And I can't preach you into despair. All I can do is tell you what the Word of God says. And then the rest of it is all up on your own. So how many of you this morning want suffer from the Lord? How many of you are grateful that you have a house of God to come into and worship with? When I envision in our church, you know that my favorite part of service is not the altar calls, it's not the praying on people. You know my favorite part of church when we come together is the fellowship? That 5 minutes that we do whatever there after that first, we didn't do it for a long time. COVID tried to change the church. And it did, actually. It didn't try. It successfully did change the church. And it changed the people in the church. And so we got into this thing where we don't want to shake hands. We don't want to talk. We don't want to fellowship with each other. But I'm here to tell you something. That is what Christians were made for. To be a family, to come together. And my favorite part of our service is that 5 minutes when I don't hear anything but chatter going on. It's so beautiful to my ears because I think of people coming together. I don't know about you, but I've been on an island before. And I didn't want to be on the island, but I felt all alone. I felt like nobody else could understand what I was going through when I was going through it. But I want you to know that there's not a single person in this room that's on an island. We're a family. And what I envision for our family is that when one hurts, we all hurt. When one succeeds, we all succeed. It's what Jesus instructed. The Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. Even more so as the day draws nigh. Now, I'm telling you, folks, the end is coming. Cut on the news for 5 minutes. You'll find out the end is coming. Matter of fact, don't cut on the news. I'm not going to be your excuse for that. Don't blame me for that. Y'all awake this morning?
Yeah.
You ready? You ready for a good word? Which one of y'all called people, told them to stay home? Summertime vacation, we got people out. Let's remember Miss Karen. Let's pray for her. I think Brianna talked to her this morning. Said she had a rough night last night, so she wasn't going to join us today. But y'all be praying for Miss Karen. The celebration of life today for Miss Linda Russ. I want you guys to come and be a part of that. Miss Diane Baker is still in rehab. She texted me this morning. I stopped. You know, I don't do those calls like Pastor does every day. I know, Carla. Carla said they're really encouraging. But I'm getting better. I'm getting better. So apparently she said she just listened to one that was sent out on the 20th. And she said, I just listened to it, and it was for me today. It encouraged me. I want you to know something. You need to stay in the Word of God. Do something every day to build yourself up with. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So you ready to get into today's lesson, the message for today? Not like I'm a teacher. You got your Bibles with you. Let's open up to John. We're going to go to John 7, verse 24. Do we have any 12-year-olds in the room? Any 12-year-old? How about 15? Got any 15-year-olds? I thought, Dennis, I thought you raised your hand. I was like, now, Dennis Summerton. All right, 15. All right, now, I'm not going to ask you, but we got some people that are seasoned over the age of 70 in the room. Don't raise your hand either, but... got some seasoned people, and we got people in between. That's right. Miss Jeanette's proud of it. You ought to be. How many's in between the age of 12 and 90? How many are in here? Raise your hand. All right. Good. Today's message is for everybody. Not just for the 12-year-olds, not for the 15-year-olds, not for the 35-year-olds, and not for the 85-year-olds. It's for everybody that's in this room. You know why? Because you don't know it all. I'm sorry. I might have hurt your feelings. Oh, well, you don't know it all. Not at 15. Now, you think you know it all. You know, at 15 years old, I thought I knew it all. And his parents were real easy to pull that card. I remember when. But you know what? You're the same way now. When you're 35, 45, now I got wisdom. And then you meet somebody who's 75, and all of a sudden you find out your wisdom just ain't there. And a 75-year-old meets an 85-year-old, and they go, wow, well, they got it together. And then sometimes an 85-year-old meets a 35-year-old and says, my goodness, they got something I can learn from them. We don't ever get there. We are always growing in Christ. We're always maturing. We're always learning. And if you stop, you're in the grave. And if you're not in the grave, then you're dead living. I don't know about you. There was a show called The Living Dead. I'd never watched it. Don't judge me. I just know it was on. I don't want to be the living dead. I want to continue to grow and learn in Christ. And you know what happens? The more that I find out, the more I realize that I don't know everything. The more I learn, sometimes the dumber I feel. But today's message is for everybody in here. And the title of today's message is simple, The Deception of Perception. I got that driving down the road. Y'all could write that down. Yes, you could use it sometime. My wife said, what's that? Actually, I said the perception of deception. My wife said, that makes no sense. Let me fix it for you. It's the deception of perception. I said, you're right, honey. That's exactly right. See, what you see isn't always what it is. But we think somehow we do that in our judgment of this. And too often we make snap judgments, a quick decision based on something. And it might be about a person or maybe a moment or event in time, or maybe it's even about somebody's motives. I have been judged more on my motives than I've been judged on anything else. People have known my past. Yes, I've got mug shots. I've got some unsavory things that have happened in my past that people can overlook, but they think that I'm doing something for the wrong reason, and they want to put me 6 feet under the ground, and they don't even know the whole story. How many of you can relate to me? Trying to do the right thing, and people want to accuse you of doing the wrong thing. You know why? Because their perception has got them deceived about who you are, what you're doing, and the motives that you're doing it for. That's just the truth of the matter. in John 7:24, is what the Bible reads. It says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. I want you to understand something. We assume things. We assume we read the whole book by looking at its cover. But I want you to know something, that perception without revelation will kill relationships. It will delay your breakthrough that you're looking for. It will kill your advancement that you've got going on in your job and in your life. And it will derail you from getting to your destiny. All because you have made up your own mind of what you think. And we're all guilty of it. So, what do we do about it? Let's look at some stories in the Bible here. I know I'm getting old, aren't I, honey? I looked at my wife, she started laughing, because the only time I ever put on my glasses is when I'm up here reading. My 20/20 eyesight's coming one day, amen? We're going to get to heaven, I ain't going to have no more glasses. Matter of fact, I ain't going to have no more spare tire either. I'm going to trade that thing. I'm going to be like a Ferrari when I get to heaven. You know what I mean? How many of you going to be a Ferrari? Yeah. So I got some Bentley people in here too, I know. But anyway, listen, number one, here's what you're going to do. Let's look. I want you to understand a few things here as we look at the Bible and look at misperceptions. The first thing I want you to get a hold of is you don't see the whole story. There's a story in the Bible in 1 Samuel. Samuel the prophet has been told by God that he's going to go and he's going to anoint a new king of Israel. And so Samuel sets out, and God tells Samuel where he's going to go. He says, you're going to go to this house of Jesse, and out of his sons, you're going to anoint the new king of Israel out of these sons. So Samuel is obedient, and he goes there, and he talks to Jesse, tells Jesse, look, I want you guys to consecrate yourselves and bring everybody forward here. I want to see all your sons. One of your sons is going to be the next king of Israel, is what he tells him. So Samuel, in 1 Samuel 16, Samuel's standing there, and the first guy comes walking up to him. The first son comes up to him, and he looks at him. His name is Eliab, and he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Now, here's this guy. He's big and tall. He's a warrior. Samuel looks at him and says, this must be the guy. This is it. This is the guy that I'm supposed to anoint. This is it. Do you know that Samuel almost made a mistake in anointing the wrong king based off of the appearance of what he saw before him? Here's this guy walks up, and he's fit to be king. He's not short like me. Yes, I'm short. I know it. That's why I stand up on the stage a lot. You can see me up here. Yeah, y'all ever shook Michael White's hand? Mike and Crystal? Y'all know who I'm talking about? He's not here today. I can talk about him for a minute. Tell him next week come to church. I can't say nothing. You ever stood beside him? Woo, makes my neck hurt to look up at that man like that. 7 feet tall. Well, here comes Samuel. He's going to anoint. And here's this guy. He's big. He's tall. He's burly. He fits the bill by the appearance of what he sees. And Samuel says, this must be the guy. But now here's what's up. If Samuel would have went ahead and took his horn full of oil and went ahead and anointed it, the whole story would have been different. You know why? Because he wasn't the one that was chosen from God. Looks can lie. Looks can lie. I have done it myself. Truth be told. That's right. I'm just being honest with you. I've seen people had tattooed up and everything else. Now, yes, I have a tattoo. Let me go ahead and clear the air with that, too, before Ms. Kizer. Yes, I have a tattoo. I only got one because I'm scared of needles, so I was done. But, you know, I see people, and I go, oh, my goodness. Oh, I've done that in the past. Truth be told. I've seen somebody who smelt like a garbage can 3 weeks day sitting in the sun, just stinking from high heaven, and I pass judgment on them. Shame on me. When I got revelation with my perception, all of a sudden all that changed. I don't see tattoos anymore. I see a child of God. I don't have a smell anymore. I smell the sweet aroma of the Lord on them. And if they don't have it, they need it. And all of a sudden here, what happens is when I start looking at somebody, not based upon their outward appearance, but how God sees them, my perception changes who they are in my eyes. We have people in Celebrate Recovery right here. I'm going to make a bold statement. You're going to get mad. I love y'all. But everybody in this room has a hurt, a habit, or a hang-up. Everybody. If you didn't, you'd be Jesus Christ. But somehow, when we started this program, I knew that we'd get flack. I knew it. There'd be people who pushed back and hated it because of the people who were coming in the doors here for it. But praise God, we did it anyway. You know why? Because I was one of them guys. I was one of those people. I was one of those people's perception of me put me lower than dirt. But you know who didn't? My Father in heaven. When Jesus looked at me, he said, I died for you just like I died for that preacher. I died for you just like I died for the President of the United States. Do you understand something? You're no more special than the President, and the President is no more special than you. He's in a different office as you are, but as my mama used to say, he puts his pants leg on one at a time. I want you to know, folks, that don't judge the whole story based off of what you see on the outside. You may be misjudging a person that God is preparing to bless you through. Can I derail? Do I have time? I know. I watched the other day. I was like, man, I preached too long. Can I love you, George. You know that. Jordan. Y'all might have heard. He said, y'all, you have my permission. He knew I was going to do it anyway, so he might as well just give it to him. I don't pick on George, but I have a special connection with George. George's wife and my wife counseled with Dora through the Hope Center. And they became extremely close during this time. And while they're going through all this, I kept hearing this guy's name, George. You know, my wife would be talking about Dora and George. And anyway, I was like, okay, yeah, whatever. But then I met the guy. Met him, and I thought, man, he reminds me of myself. He was so eager for God that he wanted everything that he could get from him, that nothing stood in his way as he sought him out. And I said, oh, man, I need some of that. Now, George, you got some tattoos, don't you, buddy? He says a couple. George, you've been through the ringer, ain't you, brother? God, good to you, buddy. You know what happened? I'm going to tell you something. George has a lifetime of ministry ahead of him. He's going to impact people who I will never, ever reach. He's going to make an impact for God that's greater than he can ever fathom. And so can each and every one of you. But what would happen if I saw George with his tattoos up there and said, don't tell him where we live at. Don't be giving my phone number out. He wants to do what? He wants to come to church? Yeah, let's make sure we keep the seating in the back for those kind of people in the back there. I'm telling you, there are churches out there like that today. We ain't never going to become a church like that. You understand me? If you are broken, you come in here. If you need Jesus, you come in here. If you feel drained out, you come in and get a fresh infilling in this church. I don't care if we pack the walls pack the seats from wall to wall. It doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that those that come in here because you're seeking the Lord, you want to grow in it, you want to help others, you want heaven to get full, and you want hell to empty out. That's what this church is about. And our perception in the community, I could care less about either. People, oh, what you worried about, people say? No, I don't worry about it anymore. I've got my own letters. Brianna, so sweet to me the other day, talked to me. She said, I feel for you, Pastor Mike. I feel for you. I know you get letters. I know you get phone calls. I get emails is what I get now, and text messages. I got some long text messages I can share with y'all. But you know what? I don't answer my critics. I answer God. Now, let me tell you something. Now, I go to the Lord with it too, though, because I don't want my perception to be tainted the other way. So I don't want to stand there and just be all one way. I want to make sure that the Lord has given me revelation to be able to interpret who and what and where and when I am at. I want you to understand something, that who you write off because of how they appeared could be the next person that God sends in to straighten your butt out. We got to have the right mind. So anyway, so you don't see the whole story. Thank goodness that Samuel didn't anoint the first son, but he anointed the right son. Amen? Number two, it's not about the setback. It's about the comeback. In Genesis 50:20, we read it says, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. See, there's a story here where Joseph's situation was looked like betrayal. Joseph, his brothers were jealous of him, didn't like him, so they ended up putting him in a well. And then once he was in a well, then they sold him into slavery. Then he was in slavery, he was taken to Egypt. How many of you know that's a pretty rough situation to be in? You think it's bad that somebody tattletaled on you to your supervisor because you took one extra smoke break. How'd you like it if your brother sold you out into slavery because they were jealous of who you are and what you could do? Here is Joseph's situation with it, and he's there. But I want you to understand something, that what happened was is that he came out of that situation. He came out of that well. God's favor was on him, and then the whole situation turned around for him. But do you know he went through all that heartache, all that pain, and all that suffering to get to a point that God had to really use him in? You say, but Pastor Mike, we don't believe that God puts bad things on people. I don't believe that God does bad things to you. But I think that God allows bad situations to lead you to something great. Romans 8:28 says that all things work for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. So guess what? It's not always going to be roses. And just because it's not roses doesn't mean that you're out of God's will. Just because things ain't going all smoothly doesn't mean that you're screwing up. You keep going. You keep moving. You keep doing the right thing, what God has told you to do. And here it is. You keep putting your trust in him, because it's not about the hardships that you're going through. It's about the place that he's going to take you to. I've got some rubber bands back in my office, and I've used this illustration before. But, you know, if I just took a rubber band and I pull it just a little bit, it's only going to go a little bit ahead of me, right? If I take a rubber band and I stretch that bad boy way back here, now that's tight. Now you think that rubber band is hurting? Man, that thing is stretched and pulled thin and in a situation it doesn't want to be in. But the moment it lets go, it shoots that rubber band straight into the destiny where it's supposed to be at. See, some of you are going through hard times right now. And it doesn't seem right. And you don't want to be in it. And you want to be out of it. Let me tell you what you're actually doing. You're misjudging your situation is what you're doing. Don't jump off the ship because the waters are rough. All storms pass. And right now in life, as you're being beat up by the waves of life and the world that's coming against you, some of us want to jump off the ship and we say, oh, take me to port so I can get on another boat. But you don't understand that the boat that you're on right now is taking you to God's best. And if you'll just hold on and stay the course with it, that you'll go through every storm. He'll take you through every storm. And when you get to where you're supposed to be, you're going to look back and say, every bit of the journey was worth it. Got a man right here, had a death sentence. Was it easy going through chemo? Was it easy going through all that hurt that you went through? Now, Roger, you were given 6 months to live. Now, you could have just hung it up, couldn't you? You could have said, this is more than I want to go through. He didn't want to do that. He wanted to hold on to it. He said, I'm going to keep weathering the storm. 6 months is now how many years? 16? 16 years later. Some of us get laid off. Your family talks bad about you. Maybe a friend betrays you, or something changes that you don't like, and all of a sudden, things, the road is rocky, the waves are high, and you're just thinking, I just need to jump ship. But I want you to know something. You're going to miss God's miracle for you because you quit before you get to it. There's a thing in CR that says, everything that you go through is for something that you're going to be better equipped for in the future. I used to hate people who hated me. I must be the only one. Just me. Okay. All right. I'll preach to myself for a minute. So anyway, I used to hate people who hated me. If you didn't like me, I didn't like you. You stay over there, I stay over here, and every time I looked at you, I looked with disdain, and you just see it in my face, and I just, you know, I didn't want anything to do with you. I just, like Yosemite Sam, you know. Oh, but when I started seeing people with clear perception and revelation through that, I started going, man, I hate that they feel that way. Not that I hate them. And not that I hate that they hate me. I hate that they're ate up with so much hate that they got to hate me like that. And I started praying for them. Lord, set them free. Give them the freedom from that. Because the devil's got them bound in something horrible. And you know what happens out of that? What happens is most of the time we get offended. And then when we get offended, then we get rebellious. And when we get rebellious, then we start acting outside of the will of God. And you know what happens? Right to the toilet. Everything that you've been riding high and doing good for, one offense that you hold on to will destroy it all. You know why? Because you jumped off the ship. You said, I don't want this anymore. I'm jumping off of it. But in life, I want you to know something. If you'll hold on, if you'll just hold on, God is going to carry you through. See, what may look like rejection could really be redirection. What you think is going to be bad is God saying, I'm going to turn this into something good. That's what Joseph said. When his brothers came up to him and they were scared to death that Joseph was going to kill him, and there was a drought, and they were so worried. Joseph, he's like, hey, man, no big deal. You know why? Because what you meant for bad, for evil, God used it for good. I've been laid off before. Anybody ever been fired from a job? Guess what happened? I got a better job. Everybody lose a house before? Ever been kicked out of an apartment before? Guess what? I'm moving to a better house. But before I got to that better house, guess what we had? We had six of us in a two-bedroom duplex. And she didn't divorce me. How you like that? Then we moved out of that and moved into a trailer where the floors like were a surfboard. I mean, it was like waves going through the house. Had mold up in the ceilings, black mold, and when it rained, you had to have an umbrella inside. It was just the way it worked, and we went through all those things, and I could have despised every situation, and truth be told, I did. I looked at it and said, I can't believe this. We're tithing, and I can't believe, look at what I'm living in, and I'm giving God my best, and this is what I'm doing. I did that till the Lord checked me, and then all of a sudden, my perspective got revelation with it, and I started thinking to myself, God, now we went from here to here. Now, that was only in 1 year. Now, what's going to happen in 5 years, Lord, when I look up? And I started doing that. Guess what? We don't live in no two-bedroom little shack anymore. I don't have to kill the cockroaches as I'm walking through the bathroom in the morning. I'm telling you right now, God has been faithful to us, and he'll be faithful to you. Amen. If you'll hold on. Stay the course. Don't miss your miracle because you're checking out too early on the situation because you think it's a bad one for you to be in. We misread moments all the time. Number three, don't let a faulty lens filter the voice of God for you. In Luke 7, Jesus, you might remember this story. Jesus has gone to eat with a Pharisee. A woman's come in, brings ointment in there, and starts washing his feet. Drying it, washing his feet with her tears, and drying it with her hair. And she's actually in a worship position with Jesus. And the Pharisee looks down, and here's what the Pharisee says in Luke 7:39. It says, if this man were a prophet, he's doubting who Jesus is. Said, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is. See, the Pharisee was judging the woman based on her past. But Jesus saw her worship and her worth. I don't know about you, but I have a past, and I don't care. You know the beautiful thing about a past? It's past. It's behind me. Y'all seen that Hakuna Matata? What is that movie called? The Lion King? Or the big gorilla dude or whatever, bam. I don't want to, whatever you call him. What is it? Monkey? Yeah, okay. Did you say graffiti? Is that what you? No. Hold on. The monkey dude's got the staff there and he goes up and he whacks him in the head. Got an ouch. Well, it's in the past. Hits him again. Wow, it's in the past. Listen, what's happened in the past is in the past. Don't live your life looking in the rearview mirror. You can't drive a car that way, can you? If you drove a car just looking in your rearview mirror, some of y'all are going to buy somebody a new car today on the way home because you won't know where you're going. You're too busy paying attention to what's in the past and what's up ahead of us. And you know that's with people too. We look at people's past and we judge them based upon it, not looking to see where God is taking them for in the future. And that's what this Pharisee did right here. He saw what she had done and Jesus saw what she was worth. Now that's good news for some of us in here. People would disqualify others based on what they were, but God speaks from what they are becoming. George, you're becoming something awesome, buddy. Stacy, you're becoming something awesome. Melissa, you're becoming something awesome. Trey, you're becoming something awesome, brother. All of us are still becoming what God wants us to be. That means that nobody in this room is perfect. That means that nobody in this room has it all together. That means that nobody in this room knows it all. That means that all of us in this room are on the same field, on the same level, and growing with Christ. And before we start casting stones at each other, before we start judging others for what we see, why don't we start asking God for him to show us what he sees? If we will do that, what will happen is we'll stop looking through the lens of deception. I put these glasses on. Now, here's what's funny. Up close, perfect. Far away, a bunch of Martians. My lenses are faulty. They're not perfect. They're good for certain situations and bad for others. But with the lens of God's perspective, it's always 20/20 vision. We always could see clearly. See, the goal is not to see better in the natural. It's better to see rightly in the spiritual. Everybody stand with me this morning. You know, Jesus modeled a spirit-led perception. When he looked at people, he didn't look at them from their outward appearance. He didn't look at situations from the outward appearance. When he was on the boat, y'all remember that, and the storms came up, and the disciples were angry because Jesus was sleeping. Now, if he was looking to the situation, he would have been right there with them, struggling to understand what was going on. But he slept through it all. Because he didn't look at the environment. He didn't make a decision based upon any of that. He based it upon the reality of what God can do through him as well. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. As they play this morning, I always ask the same question, but if there's anybody here, it's not because it's mundane. It's because it's the most important question you'll ever answer. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today could be the day. So you'll never be able to have a clear perception of anything unless you've got the Spirit of God living inside of you. You have to have that. If there's somebody here who's never made that decision, but today you'd like to, I want you to raise your hand right where you're at. Say, Lord, I surrender all. I trust you. How many of us in here, every head bowed, every eye closed, this is between you and God? Say, Lord, I want to see how you see. God, I want to get out of my own perception. I want to operate in revelation and not man or worldly perception. Holy Spirit, I want you to give me new eyes to see. How many of you in here would like to have new eyes? Raise your hand right where you're at. Praise God. I see your hands all over the church. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray for you right where you're at. Keep your hands raised up, because you know why? You're going to receive that sight right where you're at right now. I don't have to lay hands on you. You don't have to come forward up here. When Peter preached, the Spirit of God fell on them right where they were at. If you need something, you can receive it right from where you stand, but you got to receive it. It's like a gift that's been packaged up for you and is sitting there for you. But if you don't receive it, if you don't open it, you'll never own it. So this morning, as we pray, I want you to say receive. I want you to remember that you get your mind right for the receiving part. Focus on the goodness. Now, Father God, I thank you for this day. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for every heart that's been surrendered here, Lord. For every person that's raising their hand right now, me included, God, open our spiritual eyes. Give us the spiritual insight, Lord, that we see without any filter of us. Open our spiritual eyes so we can see the truth, God. That we can operate in what it is that you have for us. And that as we push forward, Lord, knowing that we're not ordering our own steps, but we're following the steps that you give us, Lord. God, I thank you for it right now, Father. As these people are receiving with their hands lifted high, that they feel overcome, Lord. Overcome. Holy Spirit, right now, I just ask you to touch them. From the top of their fingers right now, all the way to the bottom of the soles of their feet. Let that warm honey of the Spirit of God just flow all over them. Holy Spirit, fill us up. Give us that insight. Open our eyes, Lord. We thank you for it, Jesus. We thank you for it, Father God. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. Lord, we thank you, and we receive our sight, Lord. We receive that spiritual eyes opening up, Lord. And we give you praise for it. We thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. If you receive it, say,